Hello, everyone, and welcome to the commentary for Genesis Avalon Patriot episode 22. Oh my gosh, we're so close. We've now hit part one of three, basically, of what I would consider like the because it really is a three-part finale. Like I tried to do, I tried to write it in two,
but
it just did not happen. So here we are with part one of three, essentially. The revolution will not be televised. So anyway, I am Kat Pride. I am the director and the co-writer and co-stoofer of the show. And then with me is, of course, my other co-stoofer, Chris Bays.
I'm here.
You're here, yes. So, basically, we're going to start off with a bang. I very much loved getting to direct this, by the way. I had to do some really interesting things this whole episode to make sort of the cinematic cuts in my head that I wanted to do, but this kind of first moment where they're just sort of, they land, they do the big, like, kadoosh superhero landing, which I finally found, like, the sound effect that I like for that. And they're gonna break the president of the president-elect of the last election out, basically. Because basically, it turns out that the person who should have been elected was supposedly not elected. They conceded, and they didn't win enough votes and all that good stuff. But as we now know, that's not exactly the truth. Those are the same kind of alarms that we're looking for. But yeah, so, and also, yeah, it's very clear that, like, all of this is very commingled. You've got Tunanu and Ninurta, like, in the middle of stuff, and yeah, it's a big episode. This is a big episode, but it is, we're finally here. You too. It almost feels like, I don't know about you, Chris, but I feel like I'm almost like just like wrung out to dry before we even get to this, because I know how long and grueling this episode is in terms of like emotional.
This is that whole thing of we wrote it and then you mixed it, so we know.
Yeah.
All right, go in
place. What's coming? Like you were just listening to it. Like you feel like you need a cigarette before you even finish.
Pretty much, because there's so much that happens here. Oh, and then, yeah, this was one of those beats that we knew we were going to do the moment we came up with the concept of the show. Like, I knew Cal was out there, and
one of our major loose threads.
Yeah, and unlike certain large companies that do coordinated story beats, I actually tie up my loose ends.
Oh.
Ba-dum-tiss! Can you tell that a Marvel movie came out recently? Because I have opinions. Again, we're not going to talk about that. Anyway, so yeah, so here we go. This is Jillian's last turn as Cal, which she's excellent as usual, and just really got to lean into the hit and the low blows, you know.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get what you deserve.
But it was really cool getting to actually like follow through the thread of like, no, Jaina actually has like a half demonic brother that she doesn't really know, that she didn't know about until midway, almost the end of the first show. And we got to go all the way through how she, how she finds out about him. And here they are. And it is, this is the fight of the episode. Like, this is the fight that needs to happen. And of course, the first thing he does is stab her in the back, because that's the kind of guy he is, so. Also, we're hitting the point of the show where finally I can use all the fun like rock and noise music that I have had sitting in the back of my repertoire. Yeah, ready to go.
That's more like it.
Fight scenes are my favorite thing. We know they're my favorite thing. But like, this is definitely one of the ones where I missed getting to do stuff like this, because it is, and Chris will tell you, I beat myself up over these more than I think I beat the characters up in them. Like, I will sit there and work on a fight scene and work on a fight scene and work on a fight scene, walk away, work on a fight scene
some more, and then she'll then say, well, it's probably terrible, but can you listen to it? And I'll be like, what are you talking about? It's terrible. It's amazing.
Now, you've allied with a demonic elder god.
Look, I have, you know, self-esteem issues like everybody else, okay? But I like that you check me before I wreck me, because you have caught a couple things a couple times, but like, most of the time you're like, no, this is great, but like there's this element here that like you'd be cool if you could punch it up and like, but, you know, normally I spend days working on these and I'll come over and talk to you about it and then go back to work on it. And that's the big thing, I think, at this point. So also, when you have ridiculously talented actors who know how
it makes
to
it so much easier.
Yeah. Because, you know, right. Laura and Jillian and then Sean Luxford, who plays Knox in, you know, when we get to kind of the last two episodes, she's got some fight scenes coming up, and like they all three of them really know how to have fun with Walla. And one of the coolest things about that I like to do when it comes to mixing fight scenes and action scenes of any kind that have Walla in them is I'll basically tell the actor, like, give me a minute of you having fun. Like, give me a minute of you getting beat up. And it's things like, you know, and you start out the fight stronger. Now you're feeling weaker. You're feeling winded. It's clear that the fight's, taking a toll on you. And I love it because it lets the actors give all of their talent as an actor on how their character is going to handle a fight scene. And all I have to do is put in the sound bed and the stereo effects around them to make what they're already giving me work. Yeah. And it's just so much fun. The only reason you didn't was because the stewards are led by an old god, old enough to hold grudges against the kingdom and my god. This is a fun little scene. President-elect Mirzai is actually named after a high school friend of mine. I don't think that he's listening, but I hope he does. So that would be really cool. If you are, man, you should like let me know because that's really cool. Also, this is Dante Majors doing a quick double turn for us. So normally you hear Dante as Aran, but I asked him to pop it and kind of give us like your best presidential authoritative voice for this little scene lit, because I really wanted it to be very clear that this was someone of gravitas, like someone who's like clearly like a politician, and Dante's already carries a lot of that like really cool gravitas when he plays Aran, so I knew he would have fun with it.
A skyscraper.
Now, if you had told me, hey Kat, you know how you're gonna finish this episode? You're gonna have them go like up a fire escape and up a skyscraper and then like through a building and onto a rooftop. I would have been like, why would I write it that way? And the answer is, writer, you thought it was really effing cool at the time. But I loved getting this group together, like this dynamic of having Carrie and Leo and Ben be the ones doing like, this part of the thing.
It's a good
mix. Mm-hmm.
And also, Leo.
Yeah. I mean,
stairs in the background.
Yes. Oh, I mean, Paul had fun with the. There's so many ad libs in here, but yeah, the stairs really got me. This right here, the blah 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 blah. All of that is completely ad lib. I just let Paul go. We give Paul a line, and then we go have fun with it. And then Paul never gives me lines at like he gives me the three takes as read, and then he always has some fun stuff in there, and I almost always end up taking it, which makes your job transcripting a little difficult.
A little difficult, yeah.
It's worth it.
Like this one.
Also, casual reminder, in today's day and age, little acts of resistance help, like leaving a door unlocked or a window unlocked.
Let's see if this toy Ryan gave
so that the resistance works. Can get things done.
Sure this couldn't be detected by the student.
Every little bit helps. There's no action too small.
Juice-jacking is still the easiest way to infect something if you don't need
also, I'm so happy if you've never heard of the term juice-jacking, I'm happy to tell you. It's a really cool but scary thing that you can do. It's literally what they're doing here. Remember, folks, if you work in a corporate environment, listen to your cybersecurity folks. They tell you, do not plug in a USB that you just pick up off the ground. Don't plug in a peripheral, like a mouse or something, that you didn't bring in yourself. Because that actually carries malicious code. It could carry malicious code.
You couldn't ask for better timing.
Which is exactly what they're exploiting here. I love it.
Julian?
I passed my cybersecurity. Thanks, company that I've worked for forever. Do I have to keep doing them every 3 weeks or every 3 months or whatever it is?
Frequently? Dang.
No, it's every three. It's only like 3 or 4 months. Yeah, I wish it was just once a year, but we don't do that.
Bingo every
yeah, we don't do that. We take, but we do get to take a course that has like some a really cool voice actor in it. That he's a voice on Futurama, and I'm blanking on his name, but he's like a jack of all trades actor.
Our friends were murdered here.
But The guy that was red, or that was Stimpy and Ren and Stimpy?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. He was in Futurama. That's the one I remember, but I can't. I'm blanking right now completely on his name. But anyway. Also, I gotta give,
whatever you do,
I gotta give our man, Anthony Fleece, some serious props for this episode, by the way. So, if you've listened to the episode, which you should have, I don't know why you'd be listening to the commentary first. If you are, stop what you're doing and go back. But, yes, thank you, Paul. That demon in the window line is exactly how it was in my head, and I love that.
You know none of us can fly, right?
Come on!
Right?
Right?
I gotta give, I gotta give Anthony credit for taking a role, you know, that was a, hey, we need someone to fill in and start and pick up Julian for the rest of the show, please. And, really give it some new nuance, and then on top of that, he nailed this episode. And he did not, like, to be fair,
folks, we asked a lot,
and I did not let him know this was his swan song. He got the script like everybody else. Normally, I try to give actors a heads up, but seeing as how we were two episodes to the end of the show, it was one of those, like, well, guys, we're going to be done soon. Like, there's no sequel after this, we're done. So, like, assume that you're going to start getting written out. Assume that your plot thread's going to get tied up and you're done. But yeah, Anthony does such a phenomenal job. Just really like and I got to do all the fun, like, old school Julian on the bike things, which I hadn't done in ages.
Yeah.
And then this fight scene flipping happens. I pulled an old one there.
You did.
I haven't done that in a long time. I actually spent a lot of time re-listening to the first show before doing this, these three episodes. Yeah, before I sat and wrote these last three episodes, I went back and I was re-listening most of, like, seasons 2, 3, and 4, and really heavily on, like, 2 and 3, because I wanted to capture the vibe of Jaina at her most confident, as she's figuring out magic, as she really understands it, and a lot of it is, you know, very instinctual, and, but I also wanted to channel kind of, like, that raw anger that we hadn't really seen out of her since, you know, she came back, and they both do such a phenomenal job in the scene.
I can't believe you are the one with the legacy.
And there it is. There it is.
There it is. The whole reason he's been salty the whole time
is that his mortal sister, who should, you know, she got to keep the mom and the dad. She got to have the normal life, and then turns out she's like the savior of humanity. And he's like, "Are you freaking kidding me?"
What this is about?
Yes.
Lilith?
Yes, it is.
She's still in the underworld.
Yeah, she is. We kind of did not really resolve that plot point. Just kind of let her bounce around in the underworld for forever.
Promised. It's what he threatened. He's gonna throw you away.
Yeah. Again, Laura, Slay Girl Slay all day. Just, I mean,
the sass just now.
I will always be so grateful that Laura was like, yes, I can come back to do this. I'm really busy, but I will come back to do this. And I was like, that's amazing, because I wouldn't do the show without you, but also because she just is so good intrinsically at knowing how Jaina needs to be.
She really is.
Stop.
I don't think any other actress would have done Jaina as
God's
good.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Just stop. Promise to walk away now.
I also love that that this is one of those cases where, you know, it is never too late to stop doing the bad thing.
Yeah.
At any point. You know, even if it's, you know, in a very Red Dead Redemption, you know, you got to get the tuberculosis kind of way.
Too soon.
That's forever too soon.
5-year-old came
yeah.
too soon.
but you know, it that is like a central tenet that I do love about acts of resistance and about most modern heroic storytelling that uses like superheroes as a lens is, remember, folks, in real life, too, it's never too late to do the right thing.
Yeah.
It's never too late to realize you've been wrong, or that you're wrong, or that you've learned new information. And that's a big thing. Like, if you learn new information, it's fine. Like, it's not a bad thing that you know more than you did yesterday and that changes your opinions. That's cool. Ultimately, Calhoun could have given up this side of him the moment Jaina had become a hero.
Yeah.
And he could have probably tried to lead a regular life just being free of the crap that Lilith put him under. But he cannot let go of that anger. The anger has poisoned him to the point where he can't let go. It's super toxic.
I was practically nursed on Hellfire.
Yeah, such a good line.
Burn everything and everyone you care about. I will gladly be the king of the ashes if it means you're gone.
I had a lot of fun writing that line.
That was a good line.
You know what fire needs, Calhoun?
She read it really well.
She did.
And you're done blowing hot air.
And then this line right here. This spell. Because, like, okay, so we've always used Audionrod as a healing, as the goddess that she would, so cool, that she would summon for, like, cleansing souls as they go to the, you know, well, like when they were demons and you can't save them, all you could do is save their soul and reincarnate them, and that's what she was doing, but it was so cool to use, like, I really loved the idea of leaning really hard into... She's the goddess of the stars. She's the goddess. She's like she's the goddess of space, the space between atoms. And I sat and watched a bunch of space movies. Like I'd watched like the Marvels, I watched like Interstellar, I watched like a bunch of stuff, and I was like, I want to capture the sound bed of space. Which is lack of sound.
Empty
cavernous. Which is like and it's so hard, but it worked out really well here.
She was destined to be that. I suppose that means so are you. You never knew how to be anything else. So how could I ask you to walk
and again,
away from this life now?
Aura just owns this speech. I mean, I gave her like a lot of latitude. I did not tell her like I need you to read it with this with any particular emotional beat, and the way that she went with this was just so good.
Audionrod. Goddess of the stars, mother of the
also,
great
this is a very metal sound effect if I do say so myself.
You are so good at picking those sound effects, my enemies, like, and finding them, because I know it's just it's basically just a bucket of bits and bobs.
Oh, yeah. The
it's a box of scraps in a cave.
It kind of, yeah. I think the sound of the loom, actually, the wheel of the loom and the wheel turning is like the same sound that is the dropping of a drawbridge.
Yeah.
For Mac's ship.
Okay.
Like I slowed it down and I echoed it out a lot and gave it some additional filtering.
It's
and
so cool,
but it
like,
just sounds so neat. Yeah. Both of us. I did this, and I'm still getting goosebumps. Let go of your anger,
Cal. It's been a hot minute since you've listened.
It has. And you know, normally we tend to do commentaries pretty close to after I finish them, but for the last three, we decided to give it a nice long break after I turned them in.
Yeah.
So we could come back at it. Especially since I finished the show before the election.
You should have done a lot of things.
Not after, which is, you know, a good thing. But it means that, like, this all has very different, like, beats for
it
me now. It's
different.
Hitting differently, yeah.
That's what you meant by the mother aspect. I get it now.
Anytime Sam. I can use acoustic guitar, I'm happy. And it's not that often. So, it was nice to do here.
Okay, as far as I know,
hate this one.
Pigeon.
Again, another ad lib that wasn't in there originally.
The feasibility of other ideas has nothing to do with the way I feel about this one. Thumbs down, Carrie.
Thumbs down, Carrie.
You gotta make a stand here.
Yeah, that's the feasibility of this idea has nothing to do with how I feel about it. It's definitely a line I wrote, but then he just went off with it.
But honestly, now that we're here, mid.
Mid.
I'm gonna chop a bunch of these sons of bitches.
Yeah, and then I get to Leo finally gets to let loose. We did this thing of we knew the whole show. That we had set Leo up to be like the advisor, the little brother who's giving the good advice.
But he is also
and I was
a
like,
warrior.
But he is Lancelot, dang it. And he's got a big sword. And I had a lot of fun giving him the big ol' great sword stuff. Also, that explodey noise that all the demons make makes me so happy. Like, I just find it viscerally very fun. They do, they explode. They do, they go squish.
Swears. Oh, wait.
No, no.
I know,
one of the hardest sound effects cues I've ever given myself. Why did I do this?
We knew it was going to be so hard when we wrote it. Is on the we had, like, I think I remember saying, it's just going to be weird.
Yeah, you were like, I believe the, I want to say that there is an actual, like, direction in the thing that was like, good luck, cat. Like, figure out how to do both on the Jumbotron. And also like in the radio and I figured it out, but like yeah, the Jumbotron's a fun one.
Well, I mean, you kind of had an idea.
I did.
How you wanted it to sound.
I did.
But then like actually sitting down and doing it, it's like draw the rest of the fucking owl. Like
definitely. And then these two. Nick,
what the hell? I love this so much. He's so un. The matter with you? He's so frazzled.
Yeah.
You never hear Nick that frazzled. Something is eating away
at the loyalty of my supplicants. I also love the my versus our thing, just this whole episode. This started on every news network just now. It's live and it's completely co-opted our security program. Yeah, it has. Right now, people, in case you're just seeing this, I'm following Exus Avalon and I just love that Julian is flat out like on his bike
with a
GoPro on his helmet. Meanwhile, that little music cue is Tunan who realizes, son of a bitch, everything just went wrong all at once. How the fuck are you still alive? My one F-bomb.
Yep.
My one F-bomb one for the whole F-bomb. Show. Is gone. Out. And, it was funny. I had a moment where Paul texted me. It was like, are you allowed to use that word in the show? And I went, I'm allowed to have the one. And Paul's like, how? And I was like, because if Star-Lord can say it, the ones I can too. Because we go by, for anyone who's curious, because I don't know, you know, if you've not really thought about the rating system, so Pendant, we self-rate, but we mostly follow what you see happening with the MPAA. So if something is allowed to happen on a movie, that's typically the rating we'll go for. So especially when it comes to things like language, that's typically where it is.
It's our equivalent.
Yeah.
Of open the fucking door.
Exactly.
Or go fuck yourself.
Exactly. There's been a breach of the secure compound outside Pittsburgh. But I'm really glad that we got to give that one to Pete, of all people, because that growl of the how the fuck are you still alive, I was like, I need to use that take. I don't care what other, because that is not what the line is as read, but he's so good at it that I'm like, we got to go for it. Server hack. We'll have the location
shortly. Just you? No.
You know,
poor staffer.
Poor Chris Hackney. I keep making him play staffers that die tragically because he screams really good. So I'm like, please do that. All server hubs. Great. Fantastic. Now get out.
Wait. I'm sorry. You know, it's just...
Oh my God, Clarence. It's a bad day.
The best part about that is, okay, so none of that is in
the script. No.
Most of this is just all at him getting to the...
Yeah.
The source
stretching
of the
it out.
Yeah.
Playing with his food, as it were.
Yeah, for literally. Sure. Like the line is much shorter and he just goes with it. But the Clarence joke he had like Clarence, I'm just there's like four or five of them in the different takes of him and like it's not just this line too. Like
no,
he set
it
up earlier too and I was like, no, I'm gonna leave it.
From the moment that guy walks in.
He was just going to be Clarence to Pete. And I was like, I can't use all of them, but I love the idea of at the end there with him not giving a crap anymore, just being like, Clarence, I'm going to call you Clarence. Is it all right, Clarence? Yeah, see, that right there is why I keep casting Chris as those characters.
Yeah.
That scream's a very good scream.
That man squished real good.
Ew. Well, I mean, it was working out pretty well for you, Sam, and then you had to get cocky.
Annihilate all. Feast for Tulanu.
Sod off. That definitely has that for it. That definitely has the vibe of some of the stuff in the new Captain America movie that are some of the better quips.
Yes.
I got stuff to do today. Like, it's definitely, oh, sod off.
Get on with it. I got stuff to do.
Yeah. Oh, just a taste of one of my favorite spells that I added for the show.
Yes.
And then they explode.
Do they always explode like balloons?
Yep.
Yep.
Never say I don't take you to the most entertaining dates.
I love the two of them so much here. Again, that was the other thing about this episode I really liked, was that their scenes for when they're together throughout all of this are like their classic like superhero couple banter, and I love it. Meanwhile, my cat just shoved his entire head into your milk glass. Is there any milk in there left?
There's like maybe like a drag.
Well, he thought maybe there was more. My God.
He would get it. He just thought he would get it.
Apparently. Yeah, okay, so this whole Jumbotron thing. Thankfully.
It came out really good.
Yeah, thankfully there is a, there's a really cool, really cool like echo filter, reverb filter on, that you can find that's basically a football coach.
Yeah.
The referee sound. And that's basically what this is. I added some other layers to it, but I thought it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be, but there was about 3 days of me running Anthony's lines through multiple different filters going, there's gotta be one that sounds like the thing I want in my head, and we found it.
Like, an unbelievable comparative to most episodes amount of the processing on this episode was spent in filters.
Oh, for sure. You know, trying to get the right filter for the Arianrod spell sequence, trying to get the right filter for the Jumbotron, trying to figure out the right balance of filters for Carrie and Julian. It was just a lot. A lot of filters, is what I'm saying. A lot of filters. Oh, here we go. Okay. So, do we want to have the conversation about how this happened? Because this was not originally in the script.
Yes, I think we should.
Okay. So sometimes we will have an outline where we're pretty sure we know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And we've got it down to like scene by scene, almost. And then I'll start writing it and I'll get real stuck.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of advice my aunt gave me, which is sometimes if you can't write, if you're blocked, it's because you already know what the better story is, but you're afraid to write it.
Yeah, you're afraid to kill your darling.
And it was not even kill your darling. It's that you know that the thing that you want to do is risk, but it's a risk you're afraid you can't meet.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we kept talking about as we were going through this outline was I was like, it just doesn't seem right that there's no more victims of this.
Yeah.
This just doesn't happen.
Well,
And I was like, and it just seems like I'm asking a lot trying to get Julian out of there without anything happening. And then I was like, plus, I don't even know how I'd wrap him up otherwise.
And I turned to you and said, I think we have to kill him.
Yeah. It's one of those, it's never too late to do the right thing. And sometimes the only redemption is
talk like that. You're fine, right?
in death. And, yeah. And in this case, we had taken Julian.
You just
completely full circle. Right. Like, he had a full arc as a character. Working. He went from being enamored with superheroes to hating them to then trying to reconcile if he could even live in a world with superheroes to becoming a member of the resistance for kind of all the right reasons to then becoming a member for all the wrong reasons to then kind of reversing his journey with heroes until he's now back to
Julian.
Here where he
Julian.
Understands truly the
Julian,
value in
Julian, what are you
having
doing?
those
Don't
heroes out
there
to give people something to be inspired by and to aspire to.
Yeah.
That when I wrote the whole thing about Carrie having serious trauma from the fact that she had to kill someone, I was like, there has to be a penalty to that.
Yeah.
Like thematically, something needs to happen there. Oh, And this is what we landed on. So, it.
Julian.
It's such a good beat.
Julian.
And M does such a phenomenal job trying to play that balance between shock, like just like you don't believe that it happened, and then the like slow realization that it happened.
Yeah.
But like we knew that some of this was going to happen. Like we knew that John was going to be back here.
Yeah.
But no. We didn't know how we were going to get him there, and this was
it
hurt
realized...
so hard, but it's such a good story beat.
Yeah.
But I had a hard time mixing it and writing it.
It was a rough scene.
Well, because Julian's, you know, he's been with us since episode one. Yep. I knew about him and Jaina before I knew any other characters when I was writing. Yep. I knew about him before Noir. I had bits and bobs of my first season when I was coming up with this in high school of all things, and then like early college, and then like, and then Julian was like one of the earliest like characters that I thought I knew the arc for, and I would keep changing it. Until we got it to Pendant and like it finally like coalesced into a story. And so
put him down.
So yeah, just thank you, Anthony, for doing a phenomenal job. That's all I'm gonna say. That's a hard, really hard thing to do, and you nailed it. And those last moments where Julian stands up out of the wreckage of his motorcycle and is clearly injured and still manages to look the stewards in the eye and go, I hope they kick your ass. Such a good line. So that's the end of the episode. So Julian is, rest in peace, Julian. But Calhoun is officially dead and gone.
Yep.
And now we have the last two here on the American side of Tunanu and Inerta, and what kind of price are they going to want to extract out of our folks, and can we even stop them? So, all right. So let us know what you think. If you like the show, let us know. If you're on the Discord, let us know. If you previously followed us on Facebook, the Pendant audio feed is dormant, but I do still post on there occasionally. But you can always tell us what you think over on Blue Sky. I think that's it. That's about it these days. But hey, you know what really helps us? Leave reviews.
Leave reviews.
Leave reviews wherever you listen to this, whether that's Apple or the other podcast places you can get it. So. Tell a friend. All right. See ya.
Bye.